The small local banks are about to fail. Those aren't my words. Those are the words of Fed Chief Jerome Powell. And we're getting our clearest indications yet that the banking sector is in real trouble. And of course, it's all tied to those commercial real estate loans. And really some revelatory comments from the Fed chief, which we'll get to here in a second. But first, welcome into the show. Today is our Q&A episode where you're able to go to our website, leave us a voicemail question, and then we attempt to answer it here on the show. Just go to morrisinvest.com. There's a microphone icon on the right side of your screen, and you can leave us a voicemail question. Also, if you're interested in investing in real estate, you can just book a call with our team right there on the page. So let's talk about what the Fed had to say, what Jerome Powell had to say in front of the Senate Banking Committee last week. Now, this is about a few weeks after Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen also gave a warning about banks and, of course, the mortgage and mortgages that are going to be coming due and being able to refinance or not because your buildings are empty. So a lot of these commercial real estate owners right now are just walking away from these buildings. So what Fed Chief Jerome Powell said this week was really eye-opening. He specifically talked about they've been reaching out to a lot of the local banks who have a lot of these commercial loans on their balance sheets. And what they've been studying, of course, and they know about these commercial real estate buildings downtown, these offices, that there are a lot of them are just totally empty. And as a result of these landlords are like, the prices have plummeted. The building is not worth what I paid for it. Why would I refinance into a higher interest rate now that the value of the property has gone down? I mean, this is not residential real estate we're talking about here. This is commercial real estate, something I do not invest in. And now that people are working from home, which they want you to do, they don't want you to work in an office anymore. The globalists want you to stay home, right? They don't want you driving cars. They don't want you eating meat. They don't want you doing anything like that. So they're happy that this is happening. Then all of the retail establishments that are surrounding these buildings are also, now they're going belly up because there's not, what Jerome Powell said is all of the thousands of people that would go to the restaurant next door, would go to the shopping center next door, there's no one there to go to these shopping centers anymore. So they too now are also having trouble. So his big concern, of course, is the small regional banks. He says, no, the big banks are going to be fine. It's the small ones that are going to have problems. There will be defaults. There will be collapses of these banks. They will fail. I mean, he's openly admitting. Now, I've done a whole video now on the banking collapse that's coming, so you can check out that video where I go more deeply into the mechanics of all of this. But I think it's really telling right now as the Fed pulls back on this stimulus money, we are going to see so many of these loans coming due, and no one's going to refinance them. These small regional banks are about to be gobbled up. So if you've got money sitting in small regional banks right now, we need to be very, very concerned with what's coming around the corner very, very soon. So they're telling us. They're telling us right to our face what is coming right now. They're telling us these small banks are going to fail. And the large banks are going to gobble them up once again, where we're going to get to a point where we're only going to have a few large banks in the United States, and then they will roll out this digital currency. And this is exactly the plan. Make no mistake about it, guys. This is the plan. I think we're in for a very interesting year. I would definitely want your money protected if it's in a small bank right now. Really, you know, really make sure that you're protected because it's coming, guys. They're telling us. They're telling us right to our faces. Not to be all doom and gloom on this you know, on this Monday, but look, no one else is. No one else is really forecasting this information and talking about it publicly. You know, CNBC and others are trying to gloss over this, and they're having guests on from the Biden administration on their channel trying to paint a rosy picture. But you need to know what's really happening and watch what they're doing. Okay, don't listen to what they're saying. Watch what they're doing. And they're allowing these big banks to just gobble up all of these smaller banks right now, and they're moving. They've already laid the groundwork for a digital currency, which is coming. So with that little news nugget out of the way, and what we're watching on this Monday is very, very troubling. I want to get to your Q&A section of the show here, where you get to ask us a question, and we will attempt to answer it here. So our first question comes to us from Aaron.
Hi, Clayton. This is Aaron in Nebraska. My family and I just built our own fourplex. We just finished it here recently, and currently have 3 out of the 4 units leased already. My question is, now that we're coming up on tax season, I'm still confused by the difference between bonus depreciation and doing a cost segregation, or how they coincide or not. If you could explain that, that'd be great. Thanks.
Thanks, Aaron. Well, first, let me just say I'm not a tax accountant. And number two, the second thing I'll say on this is you absolutely want to make sure as a real estate investor, you're working with a tax team that understands real estate. We worked in New York City with a guy who didn't understand real estate investing. So we guess what? We fired him. I mean, in a nice way, but we moved on to a new tax attorney and the team over at Wealthability and Tom Wheelwright's great team. That's who we ended up working with. Now you don't have to work with them. You could work with another accountant that understands real estate, understands cost segregation, understands bonus depreciation. So you're asking, you know, a question, which it's a great question, but what we need to understand is you really shouldn't be doing this yourself. Okay. You need a tax professional who understands this. And I will say doing a cost segregation on a property allows you to claim bonus depreciation. Okay. Doing the cost segregation then allows you to break these things out into separate, individual properties can be separated out for bonus depreciation eligibility. So cost segregation basically allows you to take the components in the property and depreciate them faster. Bonus depreciation, of course, allows you to accelerate that depreciation. Normally, you would do it over 27.5 years. You know, that's how you would normally depreciate an asset. But with bonus depreciation, something they rolled out in the early 2000s, it allows you to do a huge chunk of it early on. Now, they're phasing out the 100%. You could do bonus depreciation of 100% of the assets. Now, they're phasing that out. So by 2027, that will fully phase out. Where you cannot do 100% anymore, and each year it's tiered down from this year to 2025 to 2026 to 2027, where they're phasing this out as part of the Tax Act from a few years ago. So long story short is CostSeg allows you to then separate out the components in the homes and then bonus depreciate those elements. It also allows use of bonus depreciation in Section 179, expensing for property components that may not otherwise qualify for these deductions. That's the power of a cost segregation analysis. So they do go hand in hand. You can't do bonus depreciation without doing the cost seg. Cost seg allows you to break these components out separately, Aaron. So I hope that makes sense. The cost seg is needed to take the bonus depreciation. And only after the properties then are fully segregated out, can the individual properties be considered for the bonus depreciation eligibility? So anyway, I hope that makes sense. They do go hand in hand. You cannot have one without the other, but you do want to make sure you're talking with a tax professional. And the beauty of new construction, sounds like you built this fourplex, which is great because you get to take some additional benefits in that initial calendar year with the bonus depreciation through cost seg, because you can with new construction, there's a couple of other items that you get, improvements to the road, if I'm not mistaken, some sewage line elements that you're adding to the land and improvements that you wouldn't get if you're doing a renovation on a property. You get some additional elements with new construction. And these things have changed over time. So again, talk to a tax professional about it. But yes, these two things do go hand in hand. And it sounds like you would be eligible for it with a fourplex that's new construction in this calendar year. So definitely talk to your tax professional about that. All right, our next question.
Hi. My question for you this morning is this. How can someone that has bad credit of a little bit over 500 and a job that is less than 50,000 start investing in real estate? Thank you.
Okay, they had a little trouble hearing your question there, but it sounded like you said you have bad credit. So it sounds like your credit score is over 500. Okay, yes, that's a low credit score. And how can you get a down payment of 50,000 when you're in this situation right now? Well, again, I have to come back to this, right? A lot of real estate investors, when they're first starting, had bad credit, had no credit, had no money at all. So it just depends on how much gumption you have. Like, what kind of a worker are you? Are you a hard worker? I'm going to tell you, it's going to take some hard work. There are three things that you need to be a real estate investor. You need a deal, you need money, and you need people, right? You need a good deal, you need money, and you need connections, you need people, right? And so what do you need in order to put all those things together? If you don't have the money, well, maybe then you need to be the deal finder. You need to be the person that goes out and actually finds the real estate deal, okay? You can be a deal finder for someone who doesn't have the time or the attention or the energy to actually put those deals together. They need someone like you who has the skills to go and do that, right? So you could be, you know, you could be the person that is going out and finding the deals, looking on Craigslist for sale by owner sections, you know, going door to door, finding like distressed properties, and then bringing those deals to somebody that does have money. Like, great, we were looking for a deal to renovate. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, young lady. We're glad that you were able to do this for us. And here's $10,000 as a finder's fee. And that's how I started. Okay. I had bad credit and I had to go out and find deals. I had to work my tail off to go find deals and really work hard. And I had to bring these deals to individuals. I had to bring these deals to renovators who were going to spend 9 months, 10 months, 12 months putting these things together and renovating these properties. And so I was the deal finder. I was going door to door. I would be out there in the cold. I mean, in cold New Jersey, like rain and snow. I have photos and videos of me walking around, like going door to door, trying to find distressed properties and seeing if this house had been sitting vacant for a long time. Could I reach out and try to find the owner of this property and all of those things? So again, if you don't have the money, which it sounds like that's the fix you're in, well, how can you get money? Well, you can find deals and then you can also find people and connect people together. And then once you bring all those things together, you start rolling and you can partner with people on properties. Maybe, you know, it's an opportunity for you to partner with someone else who has money, you know, and you can partner with someone who has the funds, maybe a relative in your family that does, and you're going to be the one that finds the deals. This family member's too busy. They'll lend you the money. You'll go in on an LLC together and they'll take 70% of the cash flow of the profit of the property. You get 30%. There's ways to do this. I also would encourage you to read Susan Lasseter-Lyons, her great book called Getting the Money. She walks you through step by step by step. If you have no money, how to do deals. She went from having nothing to become, I think she's called the billion dollar lady or something like that, where she's done billions of dollars in deals that she's been able to raise capital and funding by doing that, by going out and finding great deals and then partnering with people. So it's just a matter of hard work. You know, it just comes down to hard work. I know we're in such a lazy time right now. People are just so stinking lazy. They want their government to do everything for them. They don't want to work. It's just disgusting, you know? So it sounds like, the fact that you're listening to this show and you're taking action, just put in some hard work and start to put these components together. Read Susan's book, Getting the Money. Take her course and get started. Get started. The only thing holding you back is you. That's it. All right, next up.
Clayton, this is Cheryl Franklin. My question for you is, why is housing so expensive in Texas? What's really going on? I'm not sure. We're looking at regular prices, and then all of a sudden, it almost quadrupled. Please answer that question for me. Thank you.
All right, Cheryl. So had a couple of trouble. You guys are, I don't know if you guys are calling in on a tin can with a wire attached to something. But anyway, when you guys call in, please, you know, just try to make sure you're not on a Bluetooth headset or something like that. And just try to speak clearly into the microphone. That'll really help us out. But I let me just recap what Cheryl was saying here for our audience. She was saying, you know, why are properties so expensive all of a sudden? Why has property values jumped and tripled in price? I think she's in Texas, she said. And she was, I guess you were going to go buy a house to move into and the price has just skyrocketed. It just comes down to supply and demand. That's it. And it's supply and demand. We need a tremendous amount of housing in the United States, a tremendous amount of housing in the United States right now. And we don't have it. And it's simple supply and demand. And builders pulled back once we hit, you know, COVID and all of this craziness. We kind of got out of that period now, but the demand is still there. We have a pent up demand. So it really just, that's really it. I mean, you could look for some other other craziness. It's supply and demand, of course, inflation. So the cost of a lot of things has gone up. And, you know, this is Biden's economy right now. This is Bidenomics, as he likes to call it, right? He He talks about this robust economy, and yet 500,000 Americans just lost their jobs, replaced by illegal immigrant jobs in the United States. 1.2 million. 500,000 Americans lost their job, replaced. And on top of that, we have prices which continue to climb. So we've got higher CPI numbers from January, right? Consumer price index numbers, things, the cost of your just your groceries, I'm sure everything, you know, everyday items that you go out and buy, that's all baked in. It's baked into everything. It's baked into your iPhone. It's baked into your computer parts now. It's baked into software development. So many different manufacturers are just saying the price of all of these components is now much, much higher thanks to inflation. Thanks to all of these sanctions that we put on Russia, driving prices up significantly for the United States and Europe. I mean, look at Europe right now, slipping into a depression. Germany now entering a depression. Japan is entering a depression, entering a recessionary period. So you're seeing it, right, in action. You're seeing it in action. And of course, then prices of everything go up. Cost of a water heater goes up. Cost of a furnace goes up. All of the components, the ability to get those items shipped into the United States goes up. So supply and demand and the prices increasing dramatically. And that's where we're at right now. I mean, this is the reality of the game. And so the value of a U.S. dollar, of course, is not what it was 10 years ago, 8 years ago. So if you're holding U.S. dollars, of course, they've lost value compared to where they were years ago. And that's the trend we're on right now. And this is what the Fed is wrestling with right now. If they have to, instead of slashing interest rates, which is what we thought they would do, now there's a lot of talk that they may, in fact, have to increase interest rates again to battle this ongoing inflationary problem. And of course, you know that that's not what the Fed is going to want to hear from Joe Biden. Joe Biden's going to want to tell him, you know, please, 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 please slash rates. I'm in an election year. I need to win my election. And yet the Fed is saying, sorry, Joe, we're not elected. You don't control us. And these interest rates, we may need to increase them because inflation, we can't get our hands around right now. So the answer, you know, short answer, long answer, I guess, for that. Anyway, if you'd like to leave us a voicemail question, please do. Just go to our website, click on the microphone icon. Please talk into your microphone of your phone so we get a clear, nice message so we can all hear you crisp and clear, okay? And try not to use any of those like Bluetooth headsets all the time when people like leave messages. Sometimes there's interference or other things like that. So if you can avoid it, our audience would greatly appreciate it to the tens of thousands of you that download this show. I really appreciate it. So guys, we're watching what's going on with these banks. We're going to keep a close eye on it. Keep it here, and we'll see you next week, everyone.